Hey, Rock Movers. I cannot wait to introduce you to Season 4's guest.
Welcome back, Rock Movers. Today, we get to talk with the amazing Pamela Foley. Pamela is a former attorney turned entrepreneur. She's also the founder of Hey Visible. She specializes and is an expert advisor to small service-based businesses and their owners. She is renowned for empowering women entrepreneurs as she facilitates unprecedented growth and online visibility. This amazing rock mover has over two decades of experience spanning legal, real estate, and digital marketing sectors. She also offers transformative strategies for today's competitive market. Pam combines her experience in law, real estate, and digital marketing to give you an opportunity to succeed and win. So let's jump right into the interview. I know you're going to love it. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to Pam at Hey Visible. Here we go. Let's rock it. Welcome, Rock Movers. You got to hear her introduction, and now you get to meet the amazing woman, Pam Foley. Pam, thanks so much for joining us. I'm so excited to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I can't wait to talk about moving rocks.
Oh my goodness. Well, you and I got to have a great conversation. Gosh, has it been a week or 2 weeks ago? I can't even remember.
It's been a couple of weeks, I think. I know. It goes by fast.
And I was so impressed with how your career and life has transitioned and then all the things that you're doing now. So let's go back in time a little bit and let's talk about that first rock, the one that you felt like was that biggest obstacle, the biggest challenge that you faced personally that really made a big transformation in your life.
I mean, I would say in terms of career and life, I think there were really a couple. The first one was, I guess I would call it a rock. It was, I think it was timing as much as anything, is that I always knew I wanted to be a writer and that I wanted to work in words and be a storyteller. And when I came out of college in the 90s, that wasn't really a thing. Right? I mean, there weren't bloggers, you could be a newspaper reporter and you could be a TV reporter, but it was easy to dismiss. And I think I allowed other people's opinion to speak over what I really wanted. And that became a rock. Right. And I went into fundraising. I went to law school and was a practicing attorney, all of which is storytelling in some level. But it was never really working fully in words because I didn't believe in it. And it took a long time to get over that and to get to where I wanted to be. And it wasn't until I left the practice of law really in 2012 that I stepped into what I really wanted to do. But in a way, culture and technology had caught up with me. So you're able to do that, right? Yeah. In a different way than you could 15 years before that. And then the other really big rock was, so I went out on my own and became an entrepreneur in 2007. That happened because of a Me Too issue at a law firm. And I was fired because of that. And I guess I was laid off, but same result. And that became a mental block in a lot of ways. I mean, in really good ways, in that I became an entrepreneur and I never worked for somebody again, only myself. So that was amazing. But also just kind of the reality that that happened, and that becomes its own hurdle or rock in terms of you kind of question your own personal message and your own personal sort of what you're putting out there just by being yourself. And both of those were hard, but different, but overcomeable.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. First off, I know that the women that listen to the Rock Movers and that align with my story of abandonment and abuse and Just the impact that that had on my personal confidence and my ability to believe in myself, that my gift was still safe to shine in the world, because it was the thing that I equated was being me wasn't safe.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really eloquent way to put it.
And I think maybe, you know, probably unbeknownst to us before we knew what the rocks were, you know, energy attracts energy. And so I think we both shine now in a way that's unapologetic, yet still, it's almost like a beacon that we send out and then it comes back. Like we're still kind of testing the waters.
Sometimes.
Like, is it still safe? Is it still safe? Okay, I'm out here doing big stuff. And then it's like, okay, yep, time to turtle and go back in.
Sometimes.
So, so we're just, you know, women who are humans just out there figuring it out. And I love that you make that so real and so acceptable with what you share and what you do, because you went from a very invested career of being a, you know, practicing law as an attorney.
Oh, of course. Yes.
To being on your own, which is a complete 180. And yet at the same time, it's almost not.
It's almost not. And I did start practicing law. So I did open up my own law firm and grew it to 3 locations and all the divorces and, yeah, but you're right. I mean, I think that was a perfect example of that actually, because I achieved what I would call financial success, right? And business success and everything sort of externally, but I knew I wasn't being the person or parent I wanted to be. And that, it actually ended with me leaving the practice of law because I decided that it wasn't worth the price I was paying. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's a perfect example of what you just said, that that happened.
So did you also face the challenge or the rock of identity? Because I know personally for me, my career became a huge part of my identity. I wasn't just someone who was a financial advisor. That's who I was. I was an advisor. I was like all of these licenses that I had acquired became a badge of honor and a part of my identity. Did you struggle with that at all with your attorney?
Oh, of course. Yes. I mean, layer on top of all of that, just kind of that cultural, the cultural weight we give attorneys and people in professional services generally. And it does take work to get there, and you do have to study for the bar, and I was successful. And that wasn't enough, but there was a huge mourning period. And it was mourning like a death, even though, you know, I was still technically an attorney. But I felt like I had to, there was almost like a shame. In a very Brené Brown kind of way, right? Where it was like you had to, it's not apologizing, but it's almost explaining why. Because I didn't leave because there was a problem. I left because there was a problem with me, but not because there was a problem with my work. And in our culture, people see attorneys as successful and blah, 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 all the things, and don't look at the price that has to be paid to get that.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I just spoke with someone about that the other day. His wife, he's someone that I have on my team that I've hired for help. And his wife is an attorney and had been pursuing partner. And like almost like one day woke up and realized everything that she was pursuing was literally a fork in the road and the opposite direction from who she wanted to be as a mom and a wife.
Yes.
Because of what was required, the sacrifice that it would require. And she almost felt like she had to choose the career or herself as a human.
Oh, that is exactly the choice I made.
And so she chose to stay in the law in the practice of law, but a much different trajectory.
And the good news now is that those options are so much more available than they were in 2012, which is now, you know, a dozen years ago. crazy enough. And those options weren't available.
Right.
You know, yeah. And I was in family law and, you know, I won't go into all of it, but it does require going into court, which means I was on someone else's schedule.
Yeah.
And yep. I was missing things. You're right.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, just all the rocks, right? And the great thing is, and the message in this is that Pam was able to make the choice and find her gifts and her purpose and her path through all of this. And that the journey of being an attorney wasn't for nothing, because everything happens for a reason. So all of that helped you be the amazing person that you are now with what you do. So let's talk about that. Let's shift and let's talk shift. About today.
Yes.
And what are you doing today?
Sure. And I'll tell you that I still make use of the skills that I learned as an attorney.
Yeah.
In terms of giving advice and critical thinking. But what I do today is I own a business called Hey Visible and have since 2014. Mm-hmm. There were some blog writing years in between the two. And we do sales and marketing advisory services. So we do advising, consulting, and then I'm just launching two things. One is the Visibility Institute. And in that, we have courses that are coming out, and just launched Pam AI, which is a visibility coach that's the trained marketing and sales expert. It's essentially me 24/7.
I love it.
And yeah, I'm super excited about Pam AI because it's very accessible and it's really cool. I trained it with 20 years of information, which is perfect. And then I personally trained it, which is also amazing. And then the Visibility Toolkit, which is a school, a community where twice a month, my team and I are doing live webinars, which are kind of group coaching. And then we're doing live Q&A with folks. Plus you get the Pam AI and all of our templates and materials. And that's a monthly community. And what I love about all of that is that we're really able to help people, small businesses, from $0 and just getting started, which is really hard to do as an agency, through very successful people. And we've never been able to do that scale before. And that feels like overcoming another rock for me in that I can help the people that really need it. Because there's, I think the number is, it's well over 80%. I want to say it's 86 or 88% of women-owned businesses never make seven figures. Mm-hmm. And if I can help people get to that with the skills that I have in a way that they can afford to do that, I think, what more could I ask? Right. So yeah. I love that. I mean, I love our successful clients, don't get me wrong, but the newbies, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I mean, only a small percentage of self-employed businesses succeed altogether. So you take a percentage of that, you know, how many of those are actual women?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to not just succeed, but to make more than, because we know that, you know, a lot of businesses don't make over even 50,000 a
true.
Year. So to reach that six-figure point or to the 10K, elusive 10K months mm-hmm. that everyone talks about, you know, you only need what, 83, 33 to make 100,000 a year?
To make a, yes, it's 84,000 a month to make a million. And then you just take that down. Yeah, take the zero off.
So 8,400 to make 100,000 and then 84,000 to make a million. So there you go, people. It's just numbers. It's just numbers.
Just numbers. And really to be able to help people get there, that's why the AI is $9 a month. The community is 57 a month. I mean, it's very attainable because I want those people at zero to be able to do it because I could have used the help. And, you know, I've made all the mistakes and then some. And so I'm showing people.
And that's how you're helping people move rocks, is by taking the mistakes that you've made and shortcutting their learning curve.
Yes.
And helping them not, you know, we're all going to make our own mistakes.
Oh.
you know, like we tell our kids, just don't make mine. Go make your own. Don't make mine. Let me shorten your curve. You're going to go make your own, but just don't make this one, right? So I love that you're doing that.
I'm excited.
Yes, yes. So what is the thing that you're doing in that group or in the things that you're doing that you just, that absolutely sets your soul on fire, that you love the most?
I love teaching. I hesitate as I say it because it's kind of weird in my own head, but I like the advising and the teaching, the taking somebody by the hand and saying, this is how you get there. And I've done it, and this is how it happens. And that it's a repeatable process. And it's just, it's really, I don't know, fulfilling to see somebody make it, to see somebody closing clients or to get in Time Magazine. I had somebody do in the last couple of weeks. It's just,
wow.
It's just, yeah, it gives me the kind of chills as I say it, because it's personally fulfilling, even as I'm watching other people do it. It's the teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. So, in the process of this and the teaching and the collaborations and all of that, how are you taking care of you and still moving your rocks?
Oh, these were hard learned lessons. I'll say that between really overworking as an attorney, and then to fund the business that I have now, I sold real estate for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And when I did, I sold $40 million in property, you know, huge numbers, and I way overworked again. Yeah. So I'm really good at not taking care of myself. But those taught me the importance of it. And so I am very careful about, because I do consulting. So I take a very limited number of people in that and in monthly services, because those take a lot of time for me and my team. And I limit my hours. And I have my own sort of workout practice and yoga practice, and I pay attention to those, but I prioritize it.
Yeah.
I would say I calendar block, but that would be a lie. But I do prioritize my time. For the first time ever.
Yeah. So for someone that's listening to this and maybe they're new to a transition, because a lot of the people that follow us find me in spaces that they're new entrepreneurs or they're new business owners or new coaches. A lot of the people in my circles are new coaches. What would you say for them, of all the things that you've learned, would be the most impactful for them to get the best start, other than being in your community?
Right. Of course. Right. Of course, I would say that. But I think the most important two items are, especially for coaches, mm-hmm. Is choosing a niche that you already have experience in. And right. That so you're sharing knowledge you already have. And in that, staying in that niche, because often when I talk to people who are brand new in business, they have 27 ideas, mm-hmm. which is great, but it's very difficult to be successful in 27 different places at the same time. So there's a book from, I think it was Gary Keller. I probably have it on my wall. One thing. So it's choose one thing, commit to it for 1 year on one channel. And the second most important thing in that is speak to one audience. So if women own small businesses in the service-based industries, is your person, talk to them. But don't talk to five other people. And it's really about being very clear about who you want to help, what you want to help them with, and how you can help them, and committing to that for at least a year. And that will give you, and the one channel, it's all the ones. Only do one thing, because if you divide, that's when you get lost. It's really tighten, 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 and that's your best opportunity for success.
I love that. I love that. And I wish someone, and maybe someone did, I probably didn't listen, because I am very much and I don't want to speak negatively because I fully understand the power of our words, but I have a great knack for learning things my own time, my own way.
I think we all do.
I'm very, I feel like I'm a very kinesthetic learner. I got to get in there and get muddy and dirty with it and figure it all out. And because we are, especially if you are a manifesting generator or someone who is multi-passionate about many things, and if you have this varied past where you can coach, you have the skill set, you can coach many people, you can do many things, to layer that or laser focus that down feels like you're limiting your options. And I really want you to listen to Pam here because we hear it all the time.
It's true.
Right?
Not new advice, but it's so solid.
The riches are in the niches. We hear that all the time. And whether you say niche or niche, niche rhymes with rich. So we're going to go with niche.
I like it.
It really is important about people being able to understand and find you. And I know that that has been something that I personally have struggled with, because on one platform, I was talking to one people, and then on another platform, I was talking to other people, and my message wasn't consistent across the board. And not only did that confuse my buyers, my clients, my potential clients, but it was really confusing for my team and for me because I didn't have one message. So when people ask me who I helped, well, it depends. Are you on LinkedIn? Are you on Facebook? Are you on Instagram? Because I could be talking to you differently.
Yes. Right.
Bad plan. Yes. That was so, so hard for me, where I thought I was really trying to capitalize on the people who were finding me. As a professional people pleaser, I was doing the same little loop and trying to please others rather than honoring myself.
Exactly. And you're right. You're confusing the message. And what you're not doing is standing out from the crowd. And there's so much content out there and so much, and you have so little time. I just read a study this morning that you have less than 8 seconds for somebody to make a decision about you. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to talk to 5 different people in that 8 seconds, it's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just impossible. And you're right. If you're confused yourself, you're never going to be able to tell other people what you do.
Yeah, it was, the struggle was real.
Yes, so I think we've all been there.
Pam, listen to me. Don't make the mistake I make. Go make your own. Don't make this one. This one's mine. I've already mastered it. Don't do it. Yes. So, and the other thing that I really learned is that we really can simplify things so much, and it feels like we're not all the glitz and the glam and the nobody starts there. Mm-mm. So stop comparing your day one to their day 5,000 or 500 exactly. or 50.
Exactly. And your day 5,000 won't look like theirs.
Right.
But just keep it straight, keep it in your lane, and you'll have a day 5,000.
Yeah.
That's the real challenge.
That's the real challenge. That's the real struggle, is honoring yourself, staying true to that. I'm going to write this down or put it in the notes, because I love the one thing, one year, one channel, one audience.
Yes.
Just the power of one. I mean, we talk about the power of threes when we talk about our mindset, right? Because there's the affirmations, there's the gratitudes, and there's the visualization. That is so powerful. But you have to be the power of one to then capitalize on the power of three.
It's true.
So if...
and you have to trust that one, and it's not easy at all, because you are desperate for clients. You think you're limiting yourself. But I mean, I'll tell you, the joy of saying no, there is very little that is as much fun. If something does not align with you and you have the confidence and the personal power to say, you know, no, but someone else can help you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's where this year in 2024, I have found so much satisfaction in building a really strong network, because I am learning that I don't have to say yes to everything. I don't have to be the end all be all. I have a really amazing network of women, and it brings me so much joy to be able to say, that's not what I do, but I know someone that can help you. And I do know someone that can provide this service or do this thing. And by building and casting my net wider, now I've seen that reciprocated back, but I had to be there first. So I had to start that.
You did.
And
that you was had to trust yourself that yes. that was okay. And yeah. that another person, the right person would come.
Mm-hmm.
And when yeah. you're just starting out, that's not easy. It's very brave to say no. But I would encourage the people out there to do it, because not only is there personal power in it, there is, but you're also honoring who you should be and honoring the people who you can serve.
Yeah. And also it allows you that balance of, like, this is my lane. This is what I do really, really well. And I'm telling my brain, I'm not in feast or famine mode. So we don't have to go into that fight or flight reaction. I get to just stay in the flow of serving this and honoring this thing that I do really well, that I bring, that brings me joy, and receive the money that goes along with it. Exactly. As I'm elevating those around me or those in my network or whatever the case may be. So
exactly. And it allows you to have that positive mindset that you talked about, right? And then there is a power of what you tell yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when we take things that we know in the moment, this doesn't feel right, but maybe I do need to eat, right? Minor luxury. No,
we've all been there. I've said yes when I should have said no for that yeah. eating thing. Yeah. yeah.
So sometimes it costs more, right?
It costs more. Mm-hmm.
You don't want to gain the world and lose your soul. We'll go back to that.
It's true. So, yeah. And your dignity. Don't compromise. Yeah. It's not worth the compromise.
It's not worth the compromise. So one question that I love asking my guests, and I'm really curious to see what you're going to say to this, because you are, I don't want to say the gadget queen, but you have a lot of great resources.
I do have a lot of gadgets.
What is your favorite resource as an entrepreneur, as a woman in business, professional woman that's been in, you know, high stress jobs and now has created a life of flow and ease and alignment? What's the thing that you love the most as a resource that's helping you?
Let's see. In terms of a technical tool.
Let's start there. Yeah.
We can start with a technical tool. I would say I've worked in every website platform that's out there. If you have clients and you have income coming in, I think a platform like Kajabi makes a ton of sense for a website and courses and coaching and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
If you don't, I don't. And I think you should be on a Wix or a Shopify, that kind of idea. My website is on Kajabi. And I really am liking Taplio for LinkedIn. So that's an AI tool that you can use. There's a danger in it because you can generate posts with AI on it, which is not what you should do. But it also has a ton of great features that's worth looking at. For me and aligning with sort of the energy of what you talk about, I mean, I personally have a yoga practice and meditation practice that I've had for 3 decades, a long time. And
so you were doing yoga before yoga was like socially cool?
I was. I just have always been really drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that serves for me, body, mind, and spirit, but it's finding what, whether it's walking the dog outside or walking in the woods or just standing in your backyard, I think attuning to your own flow. And it allows you to slow down enough to listen to yourself.
Yeah.
That's the personal thing that really works for me, is to stop and hear myself, because it's easy to get it drowned out.
It's so easy. It's so easy to also feel guilty. As women, we tend to feel guilty for unplugging and plugging in, you know, within, right? To God, to our the power source for us, right?
No matter what you call it. Yes.
Whatever you call it, whatever that is that brings you that peace and where that stillness is, where you really find and hear. If you struggle with that, if you feel guilty for that time, for taking time to do things for you, know that you're not alone and ask yourself, why? Why do I feel guilty for this? Or where is that coming from? And how is that guilt serving me? Because I would dare say, and you can challenge me on this, but there is something about feeling guilty that you're searching for. And that's a whole nother conversation for another day. And I think I'm going to do a podcast on that because it's come up several times lately. But
you should
do these things that are self-sabotaging and wonder why we keep cycling back to it. And guilt is one of those.
And I mean, I would say that most of the people who come to me for the one-on-one kind of thing that I work with, they are, I mean, I can't tell you how often I have people who won't ask for money or won't take time for themselves or feel that they're not worthy, all worthy of another podcast, because those are things that hold people back, and it takes time to identify those and move past them, or else they will stop you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key, right? So these things are stopping me. Mm-hmm. What is it that I'm afraid of? What will happen if I achieve that success? What will happen if I shine big? What will happen if I make a lot of money?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That is attached to something.
It's true. I call it business therapy. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's funny, not funny, but we end up with tears because it's interesting. And I think it's for another podcast, but it's almost cultural as well. We're told as women or even as kids to be seen and not heard. And, you know, this idea is dumb. I mean, so many of us have been through quite a bit of that kind of trauma.
Yeah.
And then we hold on to that when we become business owners.
And we do. And along the way, somewhere between 6 and 13, we have been taught a certain thing about money that we learned by observing. It may not have even been an experience we had. And somehow, you know, our body keeps the score of that.
Yes. And, I love that. Yeah.
And it tells us, have you read that book? The Body Keeps the Score.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
So if you haven't,
it's also behind me.
Yeah. If you haven't, it's not a fun, easy read. So you may have to read it in bite-sized chunks and time, but your body may be holding on to this. So if you notice this pattern of when I do this, I get to a certain place and maybe I make all this money and then it's gone, or I make all this money and I feel guilty and I self-sabotage, or I get to a place of success and self-sabotage it. Those patterns are trying to show you something. So pay attention. And if you can't walk through that yourself, that's where working with someone like Pam or myself can help you navigate. Because sometimes we can't see. The instructions are right there. They're just on the outside of the jar and you're on the inside. And so having someone from the outside in help you walk through those things to find out. Because myself, I couldn't read my own label. Right? I had to get help.
It's true. I mean, me too. And I love that you work with people with like that money block, because, you know, I talk to people about sales and marketing all the time, but I don't talk to them about those kind of money blocks. And I think exactly what I said about saying no, I would send them.
So, you know, that's where these partnerships are so key.
It's true.
Because we're all having a different piece of this conversation. So I can help them with the money block and then send them to Pam so they can get seen. Right. Exactly. So there's this whole collaboration, but I love that you are tapping into the yoga, listening and modeling for yourself and showing yourself how worthy and valuable you are by taking that time. That's just so key. Whatever that is to you, whether that's journaling or reading or the gratitude practice or whatever it is, take the time to value yourself each and every day. Start and end with value for you. And it makes those other little pieces fill in so much better. So Thank you for sharing today, for all your value. I knew today was going to be amazing. And I'm so excited that my people get to know you better, get to connect with you, learn from you, be a part of the visibility toolkit and
the Institute.
I'm excited about to learn more about PAM AI. That's exciting.
It's the coolest thing ever. I'm so excited about it.
Well, we all need more PAM in our life. And now I get to have it on like on demand. I don't even have to like wake you up in the middle of the night to get your help anymore. So I can just tap into your AI version.
It's the coolest thing ever. I'm very excited about it.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you again, PAM. Any parting words for us before we say goodbye?
One thing. Stick to your one thing. That's it.
I love it. Famous words. So yes. Here we go. One thing, one year, one channel, one audience, and that's move it. One rock at a time.
Ooh, I love that. Thanks.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did recording it. So if you haven't yet, I would love for you to come over and join me in my rock moving community that I call the Champions Community, where I can support you. It's where we do all things life together. And it's where you can get more engaged. Totally free. It's over on Facebook only. But I'll put the link in the show notes. And if you haven't heard yet, I have a free quiz. So come check it out. It's how you can find out what your self-worth archetype is. So basically your self-worth superpower, and find out what your kryptonite is. It's a great way to get to know yourself and to know a little bit more about how you can become the person you really want to be. So check that out. I'll put a link also in the show notes. It's a self-worth quiz, and just know that I'm here to help you move those rocks one rock at a time.